Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
I would hope that when people sometimes look at you and look at me, they say, you know, there's that lady, there's that teenager, there's that guy who is the troubler in America. They cause trouble everywhere they go. I'm afraid we've lost the art of being troublers in the moment in which we live. I've had a long time to be alone and spend time with God, and I kept saying, what is the number one problem in America? What is the greatest evil that besets our land?
The truth is, the Lord, He is God. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, Mountain of Decision, and encourages you not to hesitate when God calls you to be His troubler. So stay where you are. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to equip you to live with kingdom purpose and priorities in 2022 by sending you Dr. Young's four-message CD series, Living Life with No Regrets. This series, based on the book of Ecclesiastes, will help you live this year with kingdom priorities and how to use your time, your home, your talents, and your treasure. We'll send you the CDs of Living Life with No Regret as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your CDs when you give 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Mountain of Decision, Part 2.
God told Elijah to go and appear before Ahab, and I want you to listen just to one verse here at what happened. This is 1 Kings 18, verse 17. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is this you, you troubler of Israel?" Take a time out here. I would hope that when people sometimes look at you and look at me, they say, you know, there's that lady, there's that teenager, there's that guy who is the troubler in America. They cause trouble everywhere they go. I'm afraid we've lost the art of being troublers in the moment in which we live. I've had a long time to be alone and spend time with God, and I kept saying, what is the number one problem in America? What is the greatest evil that besets our land? And without question, the answer was clear. Abortion on demand. The taking the life of an unborn child. You see, we're the land of the free, except for 60 million. We can achieve anything in our life we want to in this America, except for 60 million. We have an opportunity to grow and be educated and make a difference in society and every area of your life, except for 60 million. Because 60 million babies have been murdered in their mother's womb since Roe v. Wade. And there's no individuals who are stronger for pro-life than those women who tragically have endured an abortion. And they look back and they've been forgiven and they know how wrong that is, and therefore they are strong for life, and they're strong for the elimination of Roe v. Wade. Now, let me say something. Somebody said, well, Roe v. Wade is established law. It has been settled by the Constitution. So was the Dred Scott case, in which it was ruled by the vote of 7-2, the Supreme Court, that a slave was not a human being, but a piece of property. Therefore, it's a sealed thing that it is a settled issue here. Slave is nothing but a piece of property, not a human being. Settled law, just like abortion is settled law. But the difference is we rose up and repealed and threw that deadly ruling by the Supreme Court away, and now we're all free under God, regardless of race or color or any other criteria. It is deadly to harm our children. And when people of the clergy harm our children, teach them a deviant lifestyle that is deadly and degrading and horrific. And when we participate and legalize the murder of children in the mother's womb, you know what the Bible says about this? The Bible says someone who would do this, it's better you took a millstone, a heavy rock, and put it around their neck and threw them in the bottom of the ocean to harm one of these little ones. You say, well, that must be the Old Testament. No, that is Jesus. I'd rather have lunch with a mafia hitman who's paid to kill people than to have lunch with an abortionist doctor who is supposedly a healer, who's also paid to kill people. A baby should be the safest place in the world, the mother's womb. It's the most dangerous place in the United States of America. Over 600,000 abortions last year alone. Life taken. Greatness does not come through prosperity, military might, all of us being healthy and wealthy and sound and entertained with every kind of entertainment you can imagine and be protected from all other people of the world, boy. And God cannot honor us as long as we treat children as if they were nothing and they didn't count in life. You judge a nation by how it treats its children. How long do you hesitate between two opinions? He says, if the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. And one of the most tragic verses in Scripture is the one that follows. The people did not say a word. Make your choice. Baal or the living God, the people were silent. So Elijah says, let's have a little contest here. Let all the prophets of Baal come and build their altar, offer their sacrifice, and the God that answers by fire, fire from heaven, will be the true and living God. And the people said, sounds fair to us. And so the prophets of Baal led off. They already had their pagan altar there. God's altar had been torn down. And they take and they put the bullock there and the wood, and they begin to dance and to shout, asking Baal, who was a god of fire, remember, to answer by fire and to vindicate the truth of what they believed. And they danced and they danced and they chanted and they cried and they shouted out, 400 or 800 of them, all before the people of Israel. Then they began to cut themselves, to bleed, and say, we want to make it right with you and make our own atonement. Oh, God, answer by fire. You are our fire God. And they went on and on until Elijah begin to hassle him, heckle him. He said, you know, maybe your God's on a vacation, shout louder. He said, well, maybe your God, and literally in the Hebrew it says, is making a pit stop. You know, he can't hear you. Literally, that's what it says. He said, maybe he is busy. And so this day went on and on until about the hour of normal prayer for God's people. They were totally exhausted. They'd cut themselves, they'd shouted, they'd danced, they'd moved around, they'd waved their hands, they'd done gymnastics, and now they were all out of bullets. They were just exhausted. And then Elijah steps forward. Man, what a contrast. God's man. Elijah steps forward. And he goes and he has to rebuild the altar to the living God that had been torn down. And he takes 12 stones, bang, reminding the people they were part of the 12 tribes of Israel that God had uniquely selected. And he puts the wood, and he takes the sacrifice, the bullock, and cuts it up and puts it on the altar. And then he prays a very simple, beautiful prayer. He said, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the living God, affirm your prophet today. We bring this sacrifice to you. Will you answer? Will you answer at this time? And a lightning flash from heaven. And the Bible says the bricks, the sacrifice, the altar was all consumed, even after Elijah had poured water on it right before the event. And then the people fell on their face and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. When fire fell, the same silent bunch, the Lord, he is God. And Elijah said, kill every one of those demonic prophets. And they did. And God told Elijah now to go. A rain was going to come. He took Ahab and said, get off the mountain. 3 years of drought. There's going to be a flood. And God is going to now do something in his land again. And Elijah ran, it said, ahead of the chariot of Ahab as they made their way down Mount Carmel. What a moment of victory and triumph for God's man, for God's kingdom. But then we have one of the most amazing things. Astounding. And when you read it, you say, what? This can't be. And that's the beginning of the very next chapter. On the last verse of chapter 18 of 1 Kings, it says, then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and out ran Ahab to Jezreel. Man, what a victory for God and for his people. And then the very next verse. Now remember, Jezebel was not there for this showdown on Mount Carmel. So Elijah goes back to the palace. Ahab goes back to the palace. And it says, now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword, all those been eating at her table. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me even more if I do not take your life by this time tomorrow. And then verse 3, we see what Elijah did. What do you think Elijah would do? Man, here's a man who had addressed all the people. Here's a man who had stood for God alone. Here's a man who saw God send fire from heaven and consume an altar. Here's a man whom God had used to have the drought so the people would repent and proclaim, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And now this despotic queen, evil, says, I'm going to kill you before the sun goes down tomorrow. What do you think Elijah is going to do now? Just watch God's man in that. You know what he did? He ran. And he ran way, way, way away. And he went into deep, dark depression. you read the classic symptoms of depression, they're all right here with God's prophet Elijah. Fatigued, empty spiritually, physically, emotionally, paranoid, I'm the only one, Lord, he says. Did not think clearly. Man, I don't think there are other people here. When we've already been told there are 7,000 who hadn't bowed their knee to Baal, he wasn't the only one. And then he says, Lord, take my life. Suicidal. By himself. Negative. Pitying himself. Paranoid, suicide. I mean, read every classic symptom of depression. After a wonderful experience on the mountaintop, now he's in the valley. You see, when you get to the top of a mountain, you always read where there are mountains, there are valleys. Here was the mountain of decision. Fire fell from heaven. My, my. Now he's in the valley of despondency and depression. And God says, go to Mount Horeb. And he goes in a cave, and God says, Elijah, it's a great little verse. What are you doing here? What are you doing here, Elijah? And so Elijah goes out for God to speak to him, and a tornado comes. Wind is blowing. And Elijah said, oh, God is going to speak to me in this tornado. God didn't say a word. And then all of a sudden, there's an earthquake. Man, God's going to speak to me in the earthquake. Surely he's going to speak here. God didn't speak in the earthquake. Then a fire came all around there, and Elijah said, oh, yes. You are God who sent fire on top of Carmel. Now you're sending fire to speak to me in the valley of depression. But God was not in the fire either. Remember Pentecost? What do you have there? The same three things. Acts 3, you have an earthquake there, trembling, sign of the Holy Spirit. You have the tongues as fire. You have the wind. And God used those as symbols of his Spirit. In the Bible, you also see God used oil as a symbol of his Spirit. And also he used something else as a symbol. Something else. You remember what it was? It was a dove, a dove. And then it says, Elijah there in that valley, a still small voice, a quiet word of God spoke to him in his depression. The fire we need on the mountaintop will not be adequate for us when we're in the valley of depression. That's when God speaks in a different way because we can't program the Almighty. Where are you? Oh, let's go to Mount Carmel. We've been there, and God answered powerfully with fire. But what about in the valley? God answers just as powerfully through the still small voice as we know the fact. We absolute demonstrate our faith, and we know the emotions will follow. And here God gives Elijah a brand new assignment out of the valley of depression. It's time we stand up. To stay seated and be silent, or to stand up and speak, takes courage. Sometimes we need to be silent. Sometimes we need to speak. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that I believe we stood up and declared our faith. How long do we halt between two opinions? Well, I want the world, I want myself, but I want God, I want Christ. It's time we stood up and sometimes became troublemakers in a broken world, and we know the Lord, he is God. Would you make that profession of faith with me? The Lord, he is God. Again. The Lord, he is God. And God sometimes will answer by fire, dramatically, emotionally, and deal with us. Other times, and most of the time, he'll answer with that still, small voice like a dove to know that he is real and to follow through on the profession we've all just made that the Lord God Almighty through Jesus Christ is indeed God.
Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, thank you for spending an extra moment with us here today. Can you give a couple of examples of how listeners can be troublers in our culture?
We're troublers in our culture just by living the Christian life. We don't have to be obnoxious. We don't have to be argumentative. We just have to stand up for what we know is truth and what we know that we've experienced personally ourselves. When you do that, you'll discover immediately you're swimming upstream. You're swimming against the pressure and the flow of culture. Take a stand on purity. Take a stand against lifestyles that are contrary to what the Bible teaches. Take a stand that you love people regardless of who they are. Take a stand that you care. And almost any of the basic challenges we have in Christian living, you'll discover that you are living a countercultural life. That's what you can do. That's what you can do. Simply be a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus.
And for listeners who wonder if they've ever actually heard from God, what are some of the ways the Holy Spirit might whisper to them in a still, small voice?
God speaks to us primarily now through His book. And I've discovered when we're reading and studying the Bible, it is in that context normally that God speaks to us through the written word, but then the Holy Spirit comes and helps that written word to become alive in your life, in my life. I'll be reading a passage and suddenly God will say, "This pertains to you, Ed. This is for you." And that's when God speaks to our heart of hearts. And other than that, He speaks to us all the time. We just usually are not listening, not receptive. Through individuals, through events, through mountaintops and valleys, through pleasures and through tough times, God is speaking. God is speaking. So the still small voice, devotional time, through worship, through study of the Word, certainly. But all the time, I think, He's trying to speak to you and me how we can live a life that is full and glorious, that does indeed glorify Him. When we're living that kind of life, you know what the byproduct of it is? We'll enjoy Him forever.
All right, very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to help you seek God's kingdom first every day in 2022 so that you can experience real significance and satisfaction in Him by sending you Dr. Young's CD series, Living Life with No Regrets. Everyone has a deep need for meaning, value, and purpose, but all too often people look for these things in the wrong place. This four-part series drawn from the book of Ecclesiastes will equip you to experience the abundance that comes through living with kingdom purpose and priorities in 2022. So call now to request Living Life with No Regrets as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255, or text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Tune in tomorrow as Dr. Young shares God's power in a flood and the extraordinary lengths He could call you to.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Or give us a call at 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255.